The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in His house this morning. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day. Amen. Thank you, Jill, for our prelude this morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day. Thank you for joining us for worship on this Lenten Sunday morning. And may the Spirit move in this place this day as we seek to draw closer to Him this day. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us this morning. You can fill out a visitor's card and drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service today. For those that are watching this morning online on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us online this day. We hope that you will enjoy our time of worship on Facebook Live this morning. I also want to remind you that you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin, use that as a resource for this worship hour, but also use it as a resource for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you are a first-time guest with us online, I encourage you to send me an email. Let me follow up with you this week and share what First Baptist Elon is all about. For those that are gathered here and those that are watching online, just a reminder about things coming up this week, starting with this afternoon. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we will be continuing continuing our Lenten Bible study. It will be in our fifth session this afternoon. Our study is called Seven Words, and we've been looking at the words that Jesus spoke from the cross and how they speak to us today. Today we'll be looking at that statement, "I am thirsty," and talking about Jesus as being fully human and fully divine. So I encourage you to join me this afternoon at 4 o'clock upstairs in the fellowship hall. Of course, you can also watch us online on Facebook Live as well, either this afternoon at 4 o'clock or at any time later on our Facebook page, But I encourage you, the discussion is much better when you join us in person. So join me at 4 o'clock this afternoon for our time of study. Then our youth and children will be meeting at 5 o'clock this evening as well. If you look at our schedule for this week, Tuesday, Gay will be leading a group to Kernersville for our Fun and Fellowship trip. You'll be meeting here at 8:30 a.m. And then taking off. If you have not signed up, are there still seats on the bus? So if you have not signed up and you still want to go, make sure you let Gay know today. She needs to know. Make sure everything is filled up and ready to go for that trip. Wednesday, of course, is choir rehearsal at 6:30 p.m. Those are the ministries for this week. I do want to remind our church family that next Sunday afternoon, we will have our Elon Roundtable meeting, which is our business meeting for our church. That meeting will be at 4 o'clock next Sunday, so go ahead and mark your calendars for that time. It'll be upstairs in our fellowship hall, so please plan to come for that time of meeting next Sunday afternoon. Many other things are coming up in the life of our church. You should have received your April newsletter this week. If you did not, you can pick up a copy in the foyer as you leave this morning. But again, lots of other things coming up in the life of our church. As we gather here today to celebrate the blessings that God has bestowed upon us this season, may we lift praise to Him this morning in song, in word, and in prayer. Let's worship our Lord this day.
You know, I was just thinking about what David said, the blessings of this season. How many of you are thankful for the pollen? Not any of us, right? Especially those who have allergies. Let's stand and let's worship together. Come that fount of every blessing.
This morning, our opening scripture passage is Psalm 32. Listen to these words. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you. While you may be found, surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. We have a God who, when we go to him, whether it's for iniquities or sins that are in our lives, or whether we're just lifting up praise to him, he is always there. He is always listening to us. And for that, we give praise to him today. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, our hearts are blessed as we gather before you in this place today. For you have given us freedom from all our transgressions and joy in exchange for heavy hearts. You are the refuge that we seek when we are troubled and the courage we need when we venture into our days. Bless us today with your steadfast love as we declare our trust in you in our worship hour. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. Let's stand.
Oh,
our ministry highlight today, I want to emphasize something that we'll be collecting over the month of April. But first, I wanted to say thank you for your generosity during the month of March. We have had so many items that have come in for our First Baptist Church of Elon food pantry that we have been overwhelmed by the things that have come in. We're trying to find space in our food pantry closet, and that's a great problem to have. So thank you in advance for your generosity. If you still have items to bring for the food pantry, you're welcome to bring them anytime, and we will find space for them. But thank you again for your generosity during the month of March. For the month of April, our mission in gathering actually highlights one of the important ministries that we have here at First Baptist. Every other Tuesday at 1:30 p.m., we have a faithful group that travels to the Golden Years Senior Center in Burlington to minister to the residents there at their facility. Now, our ministry team there goes and plays bingo with the residents. They celebrate the birthdays during the two-week period, and also they fellowship with the residents during their time there at Golden Years. Now, to assist with this ministry, to help with this ministry, during the month of April, we will be collecting bingo prizes for the times that they're running the game, also birthday prizes to help replenish the supplies that have dwindled over these past couple months. Now, you will see in your bulletin a long list of things that they are collecting. You'll also find that same list in your April newsletter. So if you have the opportunity over the next couple weeks as you're traveling out, whether it's the grocery store or Target or something like that, and you see some of these items, you can pick them up. Items will be used as prizes, but there's also supplies they need in celebrating the birthdays. You'll notice all those things that are listed there. But if you have an opportunity, pick some of those items up, and you can drop them off at the communication center or upstairs in the fellowship hall. And our ministry team that goes every other Tuesday will use those during the upcoming trips to Golden Years. If you have the opportunity, I encourage you to go talk to Sandy French, who heads up this ministry, or Kramer Hughes, who goes pretty much every time. It is a wonderful opportunity. There is a great group of residents, and Sandy, I am correct in saying this, there are always enough hands to play bingo with the residents there. They can always use more individuals. So if you have the opportunity, go with our ministry team that goes over there. It is a great, wonderful time. I've had an opportunity to go at Christmas time. We'll sing Christmas carols with them. That's another opportunity we take during the year. And it is a wonderful group that love First Baptist Elon, and we love them. So again, pick up some items. Talk to Sandy about maybe a way that you can help with Golden Years during the year, and a wonderful opportunity we'll be collecting during the month of April. You'll hear about another collection we'll be doing in the next couple weeks, actually starting in April as well. We'll be sharing that in the ministry highlight coming up. At this time, I'll call on Deacon Mike Harrington for our offertory prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray this morning in gratitude for all the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. We are in awe of the springtime renewal and the beauty that abounds in your creation. Be with us as we prepare for Easter and your most precious gift, your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for our sins. Truly, we are in awe and give thanks to you. We now give back some of those bounties and ask that you guide and direct us to use these to the furtherance of your will in this world. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?
Thank you, Worship Choir, for our special music today. As we gather for worship this morning, as many of you have heard about the tremendous earthquake that took place across our world in Myanmar and Thailand just a day or so ago. I was reading a news report last night as the death toll continues to rise. We lift up prayer for those countries, that region. Saw updates from Carson and Laura Fushi, our CBF ministry partners for CBF in Japan. They have been asking for prayer for that region. They are safe, they are well, but they said there is tremendous devastation, and they're just beginning to see the uncovering of what is taking place over there. So our prayers lifted up for that region as we gather this morning. So in the beginning of our time of prayer this day, before we encounter God's word once again, just going to spend some moments in silence. Lift up that region. Lift up the prayers that maybe you're bringing to worship today, the concerns you have on your heart. Just spend these next few moments in silence lifting those up, and then I'll close this in just a moment. Let's pray this morning. Father, you hear the prayers of your people this day. For those that are facing national tragedy, personal, physical tragedy, emotional tragedy, and even spiritual tragedy, Father. We just ask that you meet those where they are in this very moment, in this very hour. And Father, may we, as your body of Christ, as just a small part of the greater body of Christ that is the Christian church, do our part as we seek to lift up in prayer, to love, and to embrace those that are hurting, because that's what you've called us to do. But Father, we also are called to draw closer to you, to lift up those parts in our lives where we are hurting, where we are struggling. You are the creator of all. And even in these few moments of worship, we come to you with words and works, the desires and hopes and fears that dominate our everyday lives. And we come to give you thanks in all things, to seek new perspective where we don't necessarily see your direction, and to find new strength in you. Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, Son of God, and help us today to find our hearts burning for him with a fiery love and devotion, so that kneeling at your feet, we hear the tender whisper of his call. Holy Spirit, wind of God, who is in our presence this day, open our minds to learn from Christ, that in listening that we might hear, and in hearing we might respond as he invites us to come, to die, and to live again. Eternal God, Creator, Redeemer, and Comforter, hear us as we confess our own personal wrongdoings. And oftentimes we wear ourselves down with the pretense of righteousness. Today we throw off this attempt, simply admitting our failures and simply admitting that we need you. So many need you in this moment, in this hour. And may we embrace you this day. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon this final Sunday in the month of March. And this morning I will be continuing our Lenten sermon series that I've been preaching over the last couple weeks, called Lenten Tears. Now that the weather is supposedly warming up, we'll assume it's going to stay warm for a couple days. You never know here in North Carolina. It is that time of year that many of people enjoy, called yard sale and garage sale season, right? We start that spring cleaning that collects all those items that we think that we need, and then when we realize that we don't need them, we think that other people do, right? And we put them all in our yard, and we post those stickers on them to say, buy this 25-year-old pot that no longer cooks correctly, but I'll sell it for $10 because somebody might need it. As you can tell, I am not a yard sale fan. I think they're the bane of existence. Anyway, maybe you're one of those yard sale sleuths who like to venture around to yard sales and garage sales, to venture out for those variety of sales, hoping to discover something that is worth more than that small little sticker says, requesting for your payment. Well, there was a woman by the name of Terry Horton. She was a truck driver by trade, 73 years old by age, and she was scouring through a local yard sale. And she came across a painting at this yard sale priced for $5. And she thought it was so ugly that she was going to buy it and have a little bit of fun with it. She was going to take it home and use it as a dartboard. She was going to throw darts at it. $5, that's not a bad cost for a dartboard. Little did she realize that after she took it home, she said,
Well, let me just find out who painted this art, piece of art. And she did a little research on it, and the painting that she purchased happened to be by the American painter and pioneer of abstract expressionism, Jackson Pollock. He is the founder and the starter of what is called drip painting. And she had purchased this $5 painting that was actually well worth over $9 million. Now that's quite a find. Maybe I need to start going to some yard sales. No, I think not. But sometimes in life, we make great discoveries when we least expect it. And that's the power of the story that we're going to look at today. A woman went to a dinner party, and in that dinner party, she found a great discovery that she was least expecting. The host also found a discovery, well, he wasn't expecting it either, and not sure if he took the story home with him or not, but this is what we're going to talk about in our scripture passage this morning. So over the past few weeks, we've been looking at passages from Jesus' life that focus on some aspect of tears. Most of the time, it's been talking about tears of sadness, but today we're going to look at tears of sadness and joy all mixed into one, which eventually led to a changed life. And this is why my sermon today is called Tears of Gratitude. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the third gospel, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. We'll be looking at verses 36 through 50 this morning. I'm going to go ahead and confess, I actually preached on this passage not too long ago. And this is one of those passages that are so many messages, there's so many important things that we can draw from a passage that I'm going to say, I'm going to revisit it again. I could probably preach 5 or 6 sermons on this one passage alone. But this morning, we're going to focus on those tears. So reading from Luke 7, 36 through 50, Jesus has been asked to eat at a home of a Pharisee named Simon. The words will be displayed on the worship screen behind me this morning. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So Jesus was invited to a dinner party, and he accepted the invitation to eat at the house of a man named Simon, a Pharisee. Now, this is really an unusual request. Not that you could not ask Jesus to dinner. I'm sure it happened quite often. But Jesus and the Pharisees did not mix. And we know this. They were always butting heads, and they did not agree on pretty much anything. The word Pharisee literally means to set apart or the separated ones. They did not want to have anything really to do with society. They were so concerned about what the downward spiral in society that they would have nothing to do with it. They wanted to change it. They stood against it, and they tried to turn things completely around. They understood that the law of Moses was the way to go, the only way to go, and they were careful to obey it as best they could. In fact, they were so careful to obey the law of Moses that they messed it up. If it's possible, and it was possible, they went too far. Basically, the law of Moses said to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the heart of the Mosaic law. That was basically it. Now, Moses had given them 10 specific ways to love God and their neighbors, which we now know as the Ten Commandments. However, that was not enough for the Pharisees. They were so intent on ensuring that they kept the law, they did not want to break it inadvertently. So they went even further. They came up with laws that are not necessarily written in all those laws in the Old Testament, laws upon laws upon laws upon laws, to make it nearly impossible to follow exactly the law. They had laws for everything, and they said they lived for the laws, and that's exactly what they did. You see, they went so far that instead of living for God, they were living for the law. As much as they started out with good intentions, because that's what they started out with, was for good intentions, in the end, they used so many loopholes, and they went so far that they eventually weren't doing what was really right for themselves, for the people they tried to lead, and for society as a whole. And Jesus pointed this out so many times to them, and this is why that they butted heads so much, because Jesus knew what society needed, and what the Pharisees believed what society needed, it didn't go together. And the Pharisees weren't happy about it. Jesus simply showed them what it meant to love God and love people, the heart of the law. He told them, the Pharisees, that they were being hypocrites. Jesus spoke to them as he quoted Isaiah, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up of only rules that are taught by men." So it was kind of a surprise, I guess, that Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus to come to his home for dinner. Now, we do not know Simon's intentions. We don't know what Simon intended when he brought Jesus into his home. Maybe he was setting Jesus up. We don't know. Maybe he was trying to get the truth from Jesus. Was Jesus truly who he said he was? We don't know. Maybe he was being a little bit like Nicodemus. We don't know. We don't know the intention, because something extraordinary happened instead. Back to the story. It was normal in those days that when there was a dinner party for people to come to, when they came to the table, they didn't sit in chairs like we do today. And we don't, you know, the picture of the Last Supper that everybody sees, that's not how they ate. That's not really how they did it. They would recline on cushions on the floor at a lower table. They would lean on their left sides with their feet facing away from them. They would prop themselves up on their left elbow, and then they would eat with their right hands. Now, I want you to go home to lunch today, and I want you to take this way of eating lunch. Don't call me when you can't get up from the floor, but that's the way they ate back then. So it was also customary for other people who not necessarily were invited to eat the meal to come and watch these dinner parties to happen. They would come and watch to listen to the conversation that was taking place around the table. And so that's what was happening. It was like watching a celebrity eat at someone's house. And so that's why this crowd was gathered around, listening to this conversation. So as they were eating dinner, as they were reclining at the table, there is a woman in the crowd. And many people think, well, how did this woman get in the house? She was part of the crowd. So there was a woman in the crowd who had a bad reputation. We don't know exactly what the reputation is. She's called a sinner. It has been assumed by a lot of scholars that she was an adulteress or the town prostitute. We don't know that. But to everybody's shock, she moved toward Jesus. She kneels at his feet. Remember, his feet would have been pushed away from the table. She takes a bottle of perfume from around her neck, and she pours it over his feet. She wept, and she wiped Jesus' feet with her tears and the perfume. Now, you might be thinking, well, that probably didn't distract many people because there's talking going on. There's a large crowd around. There's lots of people probably around the table. But it would have been the fragrance. It would have been the fragrance of that perfume. As soon as the bottle was cracked, as soon as it came out onto his feet, it would have grabbed everybody's attention. If it had not been for her weeping already, the tears that were coming out of her eyes, it would have been the perfume. And that combination was the key. She began crying, wiping, and kissing Jesus' feet. Now, many say it was an extremely provocative position that the woman had put herself and Jesus in. I don't know if it was provocative, but it would have been stopping everybody from listening to the conversation, and the focus would have been right there. She was showing her total submission and gratitude to Jesus. Just imagine, put yourself into her sandals. Everybody's there to listen to what Jesus is saying, and all of a sudden you're crying, kneeling at his feet, wiping his feet, kissing his feet, wiping it with tears and perfume that you brought, and kissing his feet. They're all watching him for what he's saying, and then you're in the middle of the story. Do you think this woman, do you think this female, who already had a reputation, wanted to put herself in the middle of that story? The answer is no. The answer is no. Jesus had not even spoken to her yet. And she had placed herself in total submission to him. So as this has taken place, Simon the host had some nasty thoughts running through his head. He wondered to himself if Jesus was really a prophet. Maybe that's why he had invited him in the first place. If so, Jesus would have known that this woman was a vile sinner, and no prophet would have allowed a woman like this, a woman like her, to touch him. So Simon now suspects that Jesus is not a prophet. He's an imposter. And now I love what Jesus does here. Jesus doesn't turn to the woman. Jesus doesn't turn to the crowd. Jesus turns to the person who invited him to dinner. And Jesus answered the thoughts that were in Simon's head. You see, Simon didn't speak these words to Jesus. Jesus answered the thoughts in Simon's head. That makes me very humbled. How many of us would like Jesus to answer some of the thoughts that run through our heads sometimes? But that's what Jesus does. It's incredible. He looks at the host, and he tells him the story to address the thought that ran through Simon's head. Yet the story that Jesus shares and Jesus talks about has a question at the end for the host. So there was a moneylender. The moneylender has two clients. One borrowed 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither man was able to repay the debt, so they went to the moneylender. When they got the most incredible response possible, the moneylender canceled their debt. Now, in today's terms, 500 denarii would be about 2 years worth of salary. In 2024, the median salary in the state of North Carolina was approximately $63,000. So the 500 denarii person owed approximately $110,000. That's a lot of money. The person owing 50 denarii was somewhere around $1,100 to $1,200. In Jesus's day, money lenders were not nice guys, okay? They were loan sharks like you see on every cop show you ever want to watch. You know, somebody borrows money, they can't repay it back, and they go visit somebody, and the loan shark is this evil, twisted, greasy person that, you know, is going to take it out on them, you can't pay. That's what money lenders back in Jesus' day were like. They were not going to charge 3 to 4% interest. They were going to pay 25% interest for what they borrowed. These two guys were in big trouble. And notice what Luke, the author, says, that the money lender canceled the debt. And what he means is that he forgave it completely. He didn't hold anything back. He didn't say, I'm going to remember you. He said, I forgive you. He forgave the debt. And since the money lender will not get his money back, he must bear the cost himself. Any thought of who this money lender is like, bearing the cost that he doesn't deserve? Think about who the people who borrow the money are. We owe a debt to someone, and he says, you're forgiven. And that's the essence of forgiveness. So then Jesus turned back to the host. He turned to Simon, and he says, who do you feel would be the most grateful and would express their love and gratitude to the money lender the most? Simon, rather reluctantly, probably says, well, I guess the one who was forgiven most would love most. Jesus said, you are absolutely right. But he wasn't done. He could have stopped there and let Simon process it through the story and figure out, where do I stand and who am I in this story and what was he trying to make me think about? But remember, Jesus was answering Simon's thought. So the crowd may not have understood the story that was being spoken to. Where does the story come from? I don't quite get it. So Jesus goes a step further. And this is the beauty of how Jesus works. You see, it was customary for a host to do certain things for an honored guest. They did certain things for a guest, but honored guests especially. Jesus tells Simon, when I arrived at your home, I was surprised that you did not greet me with the customary kiss on the cheek. Not only that, no servant came to me with a bowl of water to refresh and cleanse my feet at the front door. On top of that, Simon, there was no oil brought to me to anoint my head. So in other words, Simon, you did not come to greet me, you did not shake my hand, you did not show me where I could hang my coat, and you did not freshen up. In fact, you were not anywhere to be seen. You were a rude host. Now, at this point, everybody in the crowd would have been shuddering because you didn't disgrace a host at a dinner party. And everybody would have been like, uh-oh, what's going to happen next? And Jesus continues, Simon, you do not give me a bowl of water to wash my feet. This woman has been washing my feet with her tears. You gave me no oil to anoint my head. She anointed my feet with perfume. You do not welcome me with a kiss. She has not stopped kissing my feet. Simon, do you get the point? This woman demonstrated love. I do not see anything from you, Simon, yet you criticize her? You criticize her for her actions. You criticize me with your thoughts. Simon, has it ever dawned upon you that those who really understand the wonders of forgiveness are the ones who demonstrate loving gratitude? And let me repeat that, because that's not just for the host, that's for us. Has it ever dawned upon you that those who really understand the wonders of forgiveness are the ones who demonstrate loving gratitude. Simon, I wonder, could the reason be that you are expressing so little love for me is that you have little concept of your need for forgiveness and the forgiveness that I have to bring to you? And remember, Simon's a Pharisee. It was like Jesus was saying, Simon, she is the 500 denarii sinner, and you are the 50 denarii sinner, and if that at all. She seems 10 times worse than you, and the problem, Simon, is that you do not even think that you are a sinner when in fact you are. Simon did not understand that they were both guilty before God. We all are. We are all guilty before God. Simon was just as guilty as the woman. It doesn't matter if we're a 50 denarii sinner, or a 500 denarii sinner, or a 1 denarii sinner, or a 1,000 denarii sinner, or a 1 million denarii sinner. We're all equal because we're sinners. We're sinners. So what can we learn? Simon the Pharisee represents so many people, most of whom are religious like Simon, who believe God accepts them because of their self-righteousness. They believe God will accept them because they are basically good. Or they believe God will accept them because they're not as bad as others. They're judgmental of others and base their eternal destiny on their own self-righteousness. So with that in mind, Jesus then looks at the woman and says, Woman, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is the only time he speaks to the woman the entire time. At this point, she had been wiping, kissing his feet for who knows how many minutes. I could imagine that she didn't stop while he was having this conversation with Simon. What can we learn from this story? What can we learn from this story today? Jesus taught Simon more than about hospitality. It wasn't about being a good host. And if we stop there, we've lost the true meaning from this story. He was trying to teach not only Simon, but about to this woman, but everybody in the crowd about forgiveness. When we experience the enormity of God's forgiveness, when we really realize that we have been fully forgiven by God, that the Son of God died for me, we should be filled with so much awe and so much joy that we cannot contain ourselves. We may even shed tears of joy, and there may be tears of grief that we share all in one, but they are all tears of gratitude. That is why Jesus said in verse 47, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. You see, if you look in the mirror and you think to yourself, wow, all those others are so much worse than me, I just need a little forgiveness, you missed it. You will really not have the capacity to love and forgive because you've never allowed yourself to experience the full cost of God's love. Because if that's what you think, you missed it. Simon missed it. If you have never allowed yourself to experience the fullness of Christ's love, then how can you offer the same love to others? How can you kneel before someone else, cry, and kiss their feet? You can't. You cannot. You cannot give what you do not have. Christ is prepared to forgive our sins. Whether it is the reprobate, the debased, the corrupted variety of sin, or the respectable variety of sin, God is prepared to forgive our sin the way the moneylender forgave those who could not repay him, by assuming the debts himself. The costly cross is the point. That's the point. It is faith which saves us. It's not our righteousness. Our righteousness comes from Christ, and we cannot be viewed as righteous by God until we have faith in Christ. It's not about being a good person. It's believing in the good God who sent his son to die for us. In closing this morning, Pastor Stuart Briscoe shared this story about a friend who came to him and said, I never go to church because the church is like a banker's banquet. He said, because it's cold and correct, decorous and dead. Briscoe responded to him, often you're right, and I will tell you why. Often in the church there are people who do not understand their sin and have no perception of forgiveness. If I do not understand the immensity of my sin, respectable as it is, religious as it has been, and it has not been immoral, if I do not understand my capacity for independence, if I do not understand my capacity for disobedience, I do not understand myself. If I do not understand my sin, there is no way I can understand the incredible grace of God in forgiving me. If I do not understand that, how will I be grateful? I will be simply cold and correct, decorous and dead, adhering to a religious system without any expressive love to my Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be just like a banker, just like at a banquet. He said, but that's not what God wants. Friends, if we do not understand our sin, there is no way that we can understand the incredible grace of God in forgiving us. It's impossible. But when we understand that, when we finally get it, how amazing that grace is. We just sang five verses about how amazing it is. Everything, read those words? It's amazing. And guess what? It may even lead to tears. I hope it leads to tears. It may lead to tears of joy. It may lead to tears of sadness. But I will guarantee you this, that as you walk away, as you understand the enormity of that grace and forgiveness, you will shed some tears. And those tears will be like the woman as she walked away from Simon's house that night. Because as she went home that night, she shed some more tears. But those were tears of gratitude. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for a wonderful dinner party that took place 2,000 years ago that still speaks to us today. Thank you for embracing us, for dying for us, for loving us so much, and granting us the grace that all we have to do is to recognize our sin in our lives and turn it over to Jesus Christ. He takes that debt. He forgives us. May we stop trying to earn it through good actions and through righteousness, and may we embrace him. And then may we show that love to others, because that's what we're called to do. We lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to our closing hymn this morning, maybe for the first time you recognize that forgiveness that Jesus has offered us, that same forgiveness he offered the woman at this meal, is for you as well. Embrace him. Come to him and he will embrace you. I'll be down front to share about that forgiveness. If you're maybe you're looking for a church family that seeks to not live the cold life, but seeks to live through him and minister through him, First Baptist Elon could be that home for you. Or maybe you've been struggling with part of your life that maybe has lived more towards the following the rules rather than following him. If you're struggling with a part of your life, I'll pray with you. The altar's open. It's his. Come and pray at the altar. I'll pray with you. A deacon will pray with you. Whatever you need to do today as we seek to draw closer to him during the season of Lent. Make that decision today. Let's stand and sing.
as you go out today, know that you carry that same love and that same grace with you that Jesus offered us today. And if you've experienced it, you can share it. Go into a world that needs it. Go in peace.